Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. Well, Falcons mandatory mini camp gets cranked up tomorrow, as everybody will be reporting, and that will go on this particular week. And we head out to the waitfor.com hotline. Our friend of the show, she covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. Tori McElhaney is joining us. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page at Tori underscore McElhaney. Tori, as always, appreciate a few minutes here tonight on the show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Happy to hop on.
So I want to ask you about a couple of different players that I'm intrigued by what your thoughts are about what their role is going to be this upcoming season. I'll start with first Jalen Mayfield, who obviously last time we saw Jalen Mayfield, he missed all of last year, struggled in that first year where he was pretty much thrown into a starting role that probably wasn't fair to him. But what do you think his role is going to be this year? I know we've seen him working out back at tackle, but what do you think the plan is for him this year?
Yeah, I think that if you're just looking at a way for Jalen Mayfield, I think to, if I'm being completely honest, stay on this roster, I do kind of see him in that swing tackle type role, like being able to play tackle when you need him and being able to play inside at guard when you need him. I go back to, you know, he was a player not unlike Matthew Bergeron, who we're seeing now, who played a vast majority, if not his entire college career, at tackle. And I think that it was really hard for him to kind of come in and be able to play at the level that I think they needed him to. And you talk about it kind of being unfair, and I think there was no one that was kind of thrown to the wolves the way that Jalen Mayfield was his first year in the league. And then he's going through this back injury that lingered all throughout last year. And I think really and truly get now into his third year in the league, and you're just trying to, I think, to make him comfortable again. You know, like, this is a guy who I think was really, really beat up that first year, was injured all through his second year. Just getting him, like, back on the field and being comfortable is, I think, the step that the Falcons need to take with him right now. And I think it's what they're doing actively by allowing him to kind of go back to his roots at tackle.
And, you know, I wonder if the Falcons maybe learned their lesson with Jalen Mayfield, because, again, Bergeron is a guy who played nothing but tackle, but they immediately plugged him into the left guard spot. And, you know, when Mayfield was a rookie, he was filling in for Caleb McGarry at that right tackle spot, and then
right. All
of a sudden he has to start all year long. I wonder if there was a learning lesson that this coaching staff said, okay, if we're going to install a guy at a new position, let's get him acclimated right away.
Yeah, I feel like that has to be in the back of your head if you're this Falcons coaching staff. And, you know, just in terms of being – putting – they always talk about, you know, putting their players in the best possible position for themselves, not for anybody else, for who they are as a player right now in their careers. Well, it was kind of a out of necessity that Jalen Mayfield had to play at that left guard position and kind of doing something that he'd never done before. And I think with Matthew Bergeron, I think that's why you're seeing a guy like Matt Hennessy getting the vast majority of the would-be first-team reps at left guard, because, you know, there is a learning curve. You're just talking about, like, the muscle memory of playing guard and tackle is just different. And so if you're Matthew Bergeron, there needs to be time to acclimate yourself to a new position that you've never played before. And I think that's really smart on the Falcons to kind of try and – ease him into it and not kind of go the Jalen Mayfield route where it's like, all right, you're a guard, go out there and start and try and protect Matt Ryan.
And you know, Tori, you wrote a good article about the positionless football team that is. You can check out her work at AtlantaFalcons.com. But the article talks about guys that are versatile. But, you know, at the same time, it's not beer league softball, you know, where you play third base in game one and you play second base in game two and center field in game three, and then your buddies and, you know, you go out for chicken wings and beer afterward. I mean, it's not that easy. And so you, on one hand, you say, well, he's just playing one spot inside. Yeah, but there's a whole series of things to learn when you're a tackle versus a guard. And, you know, I wonder that, I know we've seen this over, you know, the last couple of years with Arthur Smith, that they work their rookies into the regular season at a slower pace than maybe some other teams do.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I go back to the example of Richie Grant. You know, Richie Grant was a second round pick. And I think when you're in that second round, you know, anywhere in the second round, I think a lot of times people automatically kind of think of a second round pick in the same way they think of a first round pick, where they're coming in and they should start right away or within the first five games. And with Richie Grant, they really did take their time to develop him over his rookie year, where they had him playing special teams a whole lot. He was really important to special teams, and he was kind of getting his reps behind some veteran guys that they had on one-year deals. And I think, honestly, when I look back at the trajectory of Richie Grant as an example, I do think that he's somebody that benefited from that kind of slower pace of, we don't have to get this guy and throw him out to the fire and have him drink water out of a fire hydrant in order to go out and play well. And I think that served him really, really well, because I've had conversations with him where he was, you know, talking about that first year and how he maybe wasn't even ready to the point of being able to go out there and play at the speed that he needed to. But then he comes in that second year and feels a lot more prepared. And that, it goes back again to making sure that your players are in the best position for themselves. And I just use that example because I think it's so poignant to kind of what we're talking about.
Tori McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So the other player I want to ask you about is a guy that I really like, and I'm curious now with the Jesse Bates signing, what do you think happens with Jalen Hawkins this year?
Yeah, I'm really curious about that too. You know, it's really funny because in the last like 2.5 weeks of voluntary OTAs, that Jesse Bates, Jalen Hawkins, and Richie Grant have only, I think, been together like one day that I've seen. I mean, granted, it's only open to the media like one day a week, but, you know, Jesse had a baby, and Jalen wasn't there for something, and Richie wasn't there. So we haven't seen really all three of them together. I'm really excited about this coming week, mandatory minicamp, and kind of seeing those three guys together, because I do think that if you're Jerry Gray and you kind of are looking at the safety position, you feel really, really good that you have three solid starters at that spot that you can rotate in and out as you see fit. So I'm really curious to see how that rotation shakes out as well. I'm just as curious, I think, as everybody else. And so far, we just haven't really had that much of an opportunity to see it actively.
You know, if we kind of fantasy book and have a little bit of fun with things, you know, the Falcons were the first team in NFC history to have two players that ran for 1,000 yards in a season. They were the first team. It had been done three times in the AFC before that. But, you know, I look at the idea of when you factor in a few things, the fact that Tyler Allgeier, Bijan Robinson, they can pick up a lot of yards in a hurry. They're running behind a really good offensive line, especially when you start running behind that right side. And Allgeier averaged almost 5 yards a carry. I think it was 4.9 yards per carry. He had a really good, I think it was 3.6 yards after contact per carry number. I just wonder if you don't want to put Desmond Ridder in, you know, some high leverage situations that you don't need to, I wonder if they couldn't end up with a couple of guys that run for 1,000 yards in Allgeier and Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I'm not putting that past Arthur Smith at all. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. A young quarterback's best friend is a consistent and productive run game. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that you saw that in the last four games of the 2022 season, and how much, you know, if something isn't working. My favorite quote of the entire, and I hope I can say this on the radio, but my favorite quote of the entire season last year was when Arthur Smith went over to the offensive line and just said, we're going to run the piss out of the ball. And then they go on for the next 14 plays and just ran the ball. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that was in the middle of the season. And so I think it's one of those things that when you have Bijan Robinson, you have Tyler Allgeier, and let's not forget Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, these are three guys who you know are going to get the ball handed off to them, and they're going to get their yards, especially with this offensive line blocking for them. So why not do that? You know, it allows you to control the clock, and it allows you to kind of do what you want to in that regard, and you know that you can do it because you saw how they did it last year. I just think that if you're Desmond Ridder, you're just so happy that you're in a situation where you have Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson and Cordarrelle Patterson, along with, you know, Kyle Pitts and Drake London. But those guys specifically, that if things aren't working, you can hand the ball off to them and they can get 5 yards.
Potty mouth Tori McElhaney joining us here on the WaitForIt.com now, kid, from AtlantaFalcons.com. You know, obviously with Avery Williams out, and he's your main punt returner, and I'm curious. I know Arthur put out some names, got D. Alford and a couple other guys, but you think that there is a chance that we see Cordarrelle Patterson, where maybe if his role is sort of reduced in what they do on offense, could his role increase in special teams? I think he's going to run kicks back, but I wonder if he'll get in the mix for punt returns as well.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is, you know, I think that I would absolutely keep him on kick returns, and I think he wants to be on kick returns. But when it comes to punt return, that's not necessarily something that Cordarrelle Patterson has done a whole lot of. He's a kick returner. He's not necessarily a punt return guy. And I think that's why Avery Williams' role was so important, is because they could kind of like tag team that. And it wasn't up to Cordarrelle Patterson to return punts. Not saying that he wouldn't do it or that he wouldn't want to do it, but I just think that there are opportunities for some other guys who I think would maybe be better suited right now in their careers to return punts. I mean, we're talking about Cordarrelle Patterson. I could say this and he could hear this and be like, well, now I'm going to go return punts because Tori said I'm too old to do it. And then I would be like, please go ahead, do it. But I really do think like a guy like D. Alford or Penny Hart, someone like that, that's kind of like a role player to a certain extent, could come in and fill that role of what Avery Williams was on that 53-man roster. And I'm not saying that they're going to play to the level of Avery Williams. I mean, we think about how good Avery Williams was in 2022, and he had the highest average of punt return yards in the league last year by 3 yards. I think he was at 16.2, and the next closest was 13.2. I mean, that everybody was talking about, like, oh, we don't need another receiver or running back, and, you know, so sorry, Avery Williams, but that wasn't what his role was. His role is on special teams and what he can do in the return game. And so that's just my 2 cents. I got off on a tangent there, but I do think that it's an opportunity for some other guys who are kind of playing a different role to make this 53-man roster.
Last question for you, Tori. You know, I have been preaching that I think the key stat to look at is red zone offense. And, you know, they were 24th in Arthur's first year as far as touchdown percentage, 14th last year. Look, I've said if they can be 67%, which would give them a top 5 finish, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be. I mean, with Pitts and London and Smith and Jonnu Smith and just Patterson and, you know, every Allgeier and, you know, all the guys that we know that they have. But I really do look at the idea of this should be an elite red zone offense. Like, there's no reason why that they shouldn't be elite in that end of the field.
I completely agree. And it's something that I know Arthur Smith has said on a few occasions, that a goal of his in 2023 is to make this offense more explosive. And while I completely agree with that, I think in terms of explosives, they weren't really getting that many towards the end of last season. And I do agree with him when he says that. But to me, it really is about being a really, really good offense inside the 20. And if you take, if you're not having explosives to get all the way down to the 20, but then you can punch it in pretty easily, I'll take that every single day. I really will. And so I think that it's when I look at this team and what you hope that they can be inside the red zone, inside the 20, it is something that I'm kind of okay, they don't have to be super explosive. They want to run the ball the whole way to the 15-yard line and then Desmond Ridder tosses one up to Drake London in the back of the end zone, by all means do it. However you got to get there, but it wasn't ever – The Falcons' issues last year wasn't ever getting to the red zone. It was punching it in when they got there. And I think that's the difference.
She covers the Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. Tori McElhaney joined me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Follow her on her personal Twitter page, @Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, appreciate a few minutes with the show tonight, and we will chat again here soon.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Y'all have a good week.
You got it. Chuck Ray in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.